We've come in our series on emotions to the idea of fatigue. To be honest with you, I hadn't given fatigue much thought as an emotion until Pastor Wes asked me to give this message. As a young man, I scoffed. I scoffed at the idea of fatigue. I was somewhat of a workaholic, and so I thought, if you've got a project to do, give it to me. I'll get it done. Just bring it on. I was confident that if I set my mind to it, I had the energy, I would get it done. Well, over time, I learned to be more selective and conserve my energy to the items that I was more gifted at doing. But the fact is, we're a nation of tired people. David Jeremiah brought out the idea that Congress has budget fatigue, sports teams lose games because of travel fatigue, trains derail because of driver fatigue, soldiers face battle fatigue, ministries and charities go unfunded because of donor fatigue, and there's even been a report on Facebook fatigue. And certainly in the past year, we all have become acquainted with COVID fatigue. Physical fatigue can really influence our emotions in a variety of ways. Coach Vince Lombardi made a sign for his Green Bay Packers that said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." And it's true, when you're really tired, it's easy to be more fearful. And have you noticed that babies get more cranky when they miss their naps? By the way, that's not just true of babies. But we do experience physical fatigue. When we have worked hard, that's to be expected. We get tired. And fortunately, hard work, and after a good night's rest, we typically feel restored. But even Jesus became tired. He and his disciples had been in Jerusalem observing the Passover, and they decided to go back to Galilee, and he made the decision to go through Samaria. And John 4:6 says, "Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well." He was tired from his journey. So Jesus understands your tiredness. When you have become tired from your journey, Jesus can identify with that because he too experienced that kind of physical tiredness. When Moses led the people of Israel through the desert on the way to the promised land when they left Egypt, they complained a great deal. They didn't like the fact that they didn't have enough water, so God provided water. They complained about the food, so God provided food, manna from heaven. Eventually, they complained about that as well. I'm sure there are many factors that contributed to their complaining, but certainly one factor had to be the fact that they were fatigued. They were tired marching through the desert. And so lack of rest is another thing that can make us tired. Maybe you're familiar with some of the studies that have been done. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has recommended that adults get at least 7 hours of sleep a night. But they tell us, they estimate that 1 out of 3 adults don't get enough rest. And when you don't get enough rest, it can affect your performance at work, at school, at home. And some of the results are just plain fatigue or irritability or mood changes. I venture to guess we could change Vince Lombardi's slogan to say, "Fatigue makes complainers of us all," or "Fatigue makes us irritable or depressed." But it's a problem. And you know, fatigue may actually be a symptom of something else that's going on in your life. Sometimes we feel fatigue because our bodies are trying to tell us something. It was April 1st, 2007. I think I shall never forget that day. We lived in Iowa, where I was superintendent of the Iowa-Minnesota district of our denomination. Early that morning, I had a vague, unfamiliar discomfort across the top of my chest and out into my shoulders. I took some pain medication. My wife and I drove to Rochester, Minnesota, where I spoke at that church. After lunch with the pastor, we drove not too far away to Zumbrota, Minnesota, where I met with another pastor whose mother was in the nursing home. I visited her. And then we made the round trip back to Charles City, Iowa, where we lived at the time. Just kind of a typical 230-mile round trip for a district superintendent. But the next morning, that discomfort in my chest and shoulders came back. I took some more pain medication. The agenda for that day was to get to Columbus, Ohio for a meeting with other district superintendents. So we drove to Mason City, Iowa, caught a short flight to Minneapolis. And as I walked through that large airport getting to our next gate, I was carrying a heavy briefcase, and by the time I arrived, I was completely worn out. My body just felt extremely heavy. Well, we got on the flight, and as we descended for a landing at Columbus, I began to feel nauseous. I began to perspire profusely. I was that pain had kind of localized in my chest and began to feel very heavy, and I knew I was in trouble. I told Carol, and we waited until almost everyone had gotten off the plane, and we asked the flight attendant if she could call paramedics, 911, and they arrived very shortly. Long story short, they put me in an ambulance, took me to Grant Hospital, where coincidentally, Carol had been born a few years earlier. But in that ambulance, the paramedic confirmed what I already knew. Sir, you're having a heart attack. Well, we arrived at the hospital about 7 o'clock in the evening, and they had to assemble a heart catheterization team. And at 8 o'clock, they put two stents in my right coronary artery, which had been 100% blocked. You know, that fatigue that I experienced earlier was a symptom that something was wrong and needed to be addressed. Fatigue can come from a variety of sources. I read about a mother of six who said, "I am tired. I am tired way down into the future." Now, that's tired, but of course, if anybody has a right to be tired, it's a mother of six children. But it isn't just physical fatigue that we experience. We also experience emotional fatigue. One of the sources of emotional fatigue is discouragement. It can bring on fatigue. It causes us to think things like, we didn't think life would be this hard. We thought life would be better. We expected more out of life. Dorothy Sayers said, you know, the trouble with life is that it is so exceedingly daily. It's so true. Day after day, it just comes at us, and some days are better than others, but it's daily. And then a loss of purpose can bring fatigue, loss of clear direction. I was reading something by Ken Blanchard, the business consultant, author, motivational speaker. He was writing about his father. Blanchard has produced 60 books or more, many of them co-written. He's taught management leadership for many years. And some of the leadership lessons he learned personally came from his father, who made a career of service in the United States Navy. After young Ken was elected president of the seventh grade class, his father congratulated him and said, "It's great that you're president of the seventh grade, but now that you have this leadership position, don't use it." Well, he was very puzzled, looked at his father, and his dad continued, "Great leaders are followed because people respect them and like them, not because they have power." Blanchard later wrote, "That was a pretty powerful lesson for a young kid beginning to be interested in leadership." He had another leadership lesson when his father decided to retire early from the Navy as a captain, although he could have stayed in and probably would have been promoted to admiral. When asked why he quit early, his father said, "Well, I hate to say it, but I like the wartime Navy better than the peacetime Navy. It's not that I like to fight, but in wartime, we knew what our purpose was. We knew what we wanted to accomplish." He said that in peacetime, it seemed that nobody knew what they were supposed to be doing. As a result, he said, too many leaders think their full-time job is making other people feel unimportant. And so when you get waylaid in your purpose and your direction, that can cause emotional fatigue. Disappointment is something else that can bring on fatigue, especially if you're disappointed with people. You remember the story of Samson and Delilah in the Old Testament? Delilah kept asking Samson the secret of his strength. He didn't want to tell her it was because of his long hair, which he had vowed never to cut. And so she kept prodding him to tell her the secret. And he kept misleading her by giving her wrong information and trying to throw her off the track. But she was relentless. And the Bible says in Judges 16:16, that with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. We might say he became sick and tired. And you may know that feeling. In fact, some of us have become sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. Maybe you expected more of someone, and when they let you down, it was emotionally exhausting. We like to feel we can depend on others, and it's easy to become emotionally fatigued and to give up on people. We've actually come through a season in our country when we have been tragically divided. People have taken sides physically. They've taken sides over things like whether it's necessary to wear a mask or not. All those things cause division and tension, and it's terribly exhausting. It can lead to emotional fatigue. And then, you know, negative attitudes can bring on fatigue as well. Attitudes are contagious. A good attitude can be very contagious. Players on sports teams, some of them are known as spark plugs, you know, the guys that are great, they have great positive attitudes, and they spread enthusiasm to the other players, which often results in winning seasons. But someone said the only thing more contagious than a good attitude is a bad attitude. That can also spread like wildfire and can lead to emotional exhaustion. That prolific writer, Anonymous, has said, "Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal, and nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude." Well, you know, I agree with that, as long as a person insists on clinging to their wrong attitude and refuses to change. But I do believe we can change, and I don't think you have to be chained to a wrong attitude for all of your life. I don't know if you heard the story about Fred and Martha, who were coming home from church, and they were having a conversation in the car. Martha said, "Fred, did you notice the pastor's message seemed a little weak today?" He said, "No, I didn't notice that." She said, "Well, did it register with you how flat the worship team was?" "Well, no," he said, "I didn't notice that either." "Well," she said, "you must have noticed that young couple sitting in front of us and their children and how much noise they made." "Well, no, my dear," he said, I didn't notice that either." She said, "Honestly, Fred, sometimes I wonder why you even bother to go to church anymore." Poor Martha. See, Fred left the service feeling refreshed and renewed while she went home growling and complaining and no doubt emotionally tired. In addition to physical fatigue and emotional fatigue, we can experience spiritual fatigue. To be honest, sometimes the lines are blurred between physical, emotional, and spiritual fatigue. What some people may interpret as a spiritual problem may actually be a physical problem. There may be some kind of a hormonal imbalance or chemical imbalance. Maybe you need a time of prayer to straighten things up, or maybe you need a good nap. That can do wonders. Remember what Lombardi said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all, or critics of us all, or it may make us jittery." Or a physical problem may be caused by an emotional problem or spiritual turmoil, like ulcers that result from excessive worry. You clear up the emotional stress and the physical symptoms disappear. But spiritual fatigue can occur when we lose hope. We just hoped life would go better. We didn't expect things to turn out like this. I read about a woman who had moved to the West Coast with her husband. He was in the military. Her entire family was back east, and she hadn't made any new friends, so things seemed quite hopeless for her. She was very discouraged. She was driving down the highway in her car one day, and she saw a building with a banner on it that had a big, in big letters spelled out H-O-P-E, hope. She was intrigued, turned her car around, drove back to the building, went inside. She told the receptionist, "I saw your sign for hope on the building, and I wondered what kind of a place this is." The receptionist explained that it was a place where they tried to help people rediscover hope by providing jobs or housing or social services. She said she had only been working there a few months, but she loved it. So the woman asked, "Is this where you found hope?" She said, "Oh no, this is where I found a job. I found hope when I invited Jesus into my life." And you know, our discouragement and spiritual fatigue can change when we too invite Jesus into our lives. But let's face it, even some people who have received Christ may even then be overcome with spiritual fatigue, especially when we feel that God has let us down. Sometimes people are tempted to give up on God. They say, "Why did He let this happen to me? Why me? Why this? Why now? Why doesn't He come through for me? Why aren't my prayers answered?" I think Job must have felt like that. You know, the Old Testament character, you may be familiar with his story. He was a wealthy man. He had great flocks and herds of sheep and oxen, donkeys and camels. In a very short time, foreign invaders stole all his oxen and donkey, killed all his workers watching them. Fire came down from heaven, might have been a bolt of lightning, struck and killed his sheep and the shepherds watching them. And then three raiding parties swept down and stole the camels, put the workers to death. And then worst of all, a mighty wind, perhaps a tornado, destroyed the house where his sons and daughters were all gathered having a feast, and none of them survived. And then Job himself became physically ill. His wife was no help. She said, "Job, why don't you curse God and die?" Job rebuked her. His initial reaction was, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" And he went on to say, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." But over time, the enormity of his loss began to weigh more heavily upon Job. And he said, "May the day of my birth perish and the night that said a boy is conceived." In other words, he was saying, "I wish I'd never been born." Can we blame Job? I mean, he lost everything of earthly value. Later he said, "If only my anguish could be weighed and all my misery be placed on the scales, it would surely outweigh the sand of the seas." Can you just feel the weight of Job's anguish? And later he said, "What strength do I have that I should still hope?" He was ready to give up. Well, thousands of years have gone by since then, and Job felt the heaviness of his loss, but people today still struggle with feelings of hopelessness. I'm glad to tell you that was not the end of Job's story, because he regained his hope, and on one occasion he said, "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever." We'd say, "Job, what is it that you want inscribed like that?" He said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." Job rediscovered his hope. And I want you to remember, there is a God who cares. In spite of your current circumstances, he can give hope and a future. So, how do we overcome fatigue? For instance, how do we overcome physical fatigue? Well, rest, for one thing. Lie down, get some rest, take a nap, take a vacation. A friend of mine said his doctor told him he needed more water in his diet. He said, "You just need more water." The friend said, "I agree with you. In fact, I want a lot of water, and I want a boat on it, and I want a fishing pole in my hand." He realized that a vacation would really help him a great deal. Some restful relaxation on a fishing boat would do him a world of good toward overcoming fatigue. Well, fishing may not be your thing, but some kind of change in your routine, some kind of vacation, some kind of rest will help you overcome fatigue. And then we can overcome emotional fatigue by regaining our purpose and by learning to forgive people who have let us down. Now, don't wallow in misery. Don't give in to the temptation to hold grudges against those who disappoint. The name Clara Barton is probably familiar to you, the founder of modern nursing. Someone urged her to bemoan a cruel act that had been inflicted on her years before, but she wouldn't take the bait. The friend said, "Don't you remember the wrong that was done to you?" And Clara Barton said, "No, I distinctly remember forgetting that." What a great way to say it. You know, you and I can do that too. We can be intentional about forgetting. Rather than lose sleep over past wrongs and give in to temptations to criticize, we can forgive and intentionally forget. Marlo Thomas, the actress and celebrity in her own right, is the daughter of Danny Thomas, a well-known comedian, actor, entertainer in his day. As teenagers, Marlo and her sister Terry could not understand why their father was so civil and so kind toward a man who had mistreated him. They said, "How can you be so nice to that man? You've been so generous to him, and he's not being generous back. Why would you ever even want to give him the time of day again?" And Danny Thomas turned to his daughters. He straightened his back and straightened to his full height and said, "I do not hunch my back with yesterday." Wow. That's an interesting way to put it, but if you think about it, you realize that when you hold a grudge and you fail to forgive, it doesn't change the other person, but it does change you. It makes you heavier. It gives you more to lug around. So overcome emotional despair by refusing to be disillusioned with people and instead treat them as you would want to be treated. And then we overcome spiritual fatigue by looking to God. He hasn't given up on you. You know, God never gets tired. Well, Scripture says He will not grow tired or weary. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God has better things in mind for us than physical, emotional, and spiritual defeat. Remember the words of Jesus when He invited us to come to Him? He said, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In 1891, Lord Randolph Churchill, the father of Winston, wrote a letter to his wife saying that, well, his life was probably two-thirds over, and he said he would likely spend the rest of his life beating his head against a stone wall. He felt that throughout his life there had been nothing but abuse and misunderstanding, and he was tired of it all. He declared he would not continue in public life any longer. Now, you may have had times in your life when you felt that way too. You just felt tired of it all. But I'm glad his son Winston Churchill did not have the same attitudes or talk the same way as his father did. He apparently had something his father lacked. It was in the dark days of World War II, and I'm sure the people of England felt all was lost and they were tired of it all. But it was then that Winston Churchill said, "We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the streets, we will never surrender, never give up." We can't afford to give up. Who knows but what a better, brighter day is right around the corner. And if you give up now, you never get to experience the good thing that God has in mind for you. Earlier in this message, I mentioned a mother of six who talked about how incredibly tired she was, tired right down into the future. Well, that woman was Julia Ward Howe, the prominent American abolitionist, social reformer, and poet. We can identify with her, but, you know, she didn't stay in that state of fatigue, and neither must we. She was energized by faith and hope, and in fact, she was so energized, she wrote a song that has set our blood tingling ever since. You know it. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the souls of men before His mercy seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on." We don't see any tiredness in those words, no fatigue. Rather, we see hope and a future and a confidence in God who never sleeps or slumbers. He's ready to help us whenever we are physically fatigued, emotionally fatigued, spiritually fatigued. He will help us rediscover our hope and our confidence in Him. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, how we thank You today that we can turn to You, whether we are physically spent, emotionally tired, or spiritually fatigued. Whatever the situation of our lives, we know that You love and You care, and we know that Yours is an ear that is always open to the cry of Your children. Your eye is always roving to and fro to see who is in need. And so we thank You that You see us, You know us, You understand us, and You're able to help us today. Thank You for being the one who never sleeps nor slumbers, but is always ready to meet our needs. And so we trust You today to help us overcome fatigue, to regain our hope and our confidence in You. And may it be true for each one of us today, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.